Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, starting in verse 25. "And it came to pass in the fifth year of the king Rehoboam, that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all. And he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields, or shields of brass, and committed them unto the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so, when the king went into the house of the Lord, that the guard bare them, and brought them back into the guard chamber." Preaching for a few minutes on the subject, Cheap Substitutes in the House of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come into your temple, by faith, through the agent of prayer. Lord, I believe you have a message for the people. I believe you have a message to the church. And I'm asking, Lord, that you help me to preach what I believe you've given me to say. Touch those listening. Send conviction by your precious Holy Spirit. Touch them, instruct them, warn them, and help them. And Lord, I'm careful to give you all the credit, all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. In the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen. The enemy of Israel at that time, Egypt, attacked Israel and won some battles that would have you. But more importantly, and a more important thing than just Israel losing a battle, was that the things of God, the furniture in the temple, the things that mattered in the house of God, and also in the throne room that Solomon had made, things were stolen, things that were precious, as we'll study in just a bit. But the precious things in the house of God were stolen. And if that wasn't bad enough, King Rehoboam, Solomon's son, instead made brazen shields that looked like the shields of gold that used to be there. And when the king went from his house into the temple to pray or what have you, the guard, which protected him, what have you, they carried these shields. Used to be they had gold shields, and now replacement shields, shields of brass. And technically it was probably copper, but whatever, copper and brass are obviously very similar. Brass is an alloy of copper. But they carried these shields, and maybe they had a shield in one hand and a spear in the other, or sword or something. But these were soldiers. And they had a great display of pomp and circumstance, a great display of, "This is the king of Israel, and he's going into the house of God to pray." But instead of the things that were valuable, the golden shields, and we'll talk about where they came from in just a bit, they had cheap substitutes, shields of brass. And they still had the same pomp and circumstance, still the marching in formation, still perhaps the trumpet blast, still perhaps the captain of the army or what have you giving orders. It all looked the same. But in fact, it wasn't the same. And I believe that this describes the state of the church today. And I pray that God would bring us back to where we desire the precious things in His house, that we reverence the precious things in His house, and that we get on our faces before God, or get on our knees, or however we pray, and ask Him to restore to us the things that we once had. You say, Brother Kelly, I don't understand. What are you talking about? Well, hopefully, by the end of the broadcast, you might. But these shields of gold, where did they come from? If you flip back a few chapters, chapter 10 of 1 Kings, the first verse says this, "And when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions." You remember in the Gospels, Jesus mentioned the queen of Sheba. This is that queen of Sheba. She came to visit King Solomon. Solomon was King David's son. But she heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Notice that, concerning the name of the Lord. He was a great king, okay. He was the richest man in the world, okay. But the thing that stands out here is that his fame had to do with the name of the Lord. You need to understand this. We believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by Him, it says. We have many religions in the world, many philosophies. All religions in the world are false. All humanistic philosophies are false, or misdirected, or misguided at best. There's only one way to get to heaven, and I know that that offends many. I know that that offends the Muslims. I know that it offends perhaps the Eastern religions. I know that it offends the scientific mind of today. Well, don't you know, preacher, that God doesn't exist, that we're all here because of evolution, they will say, and have said many times to me. But there's only one way to go to heaven, and that is to trust that God Himself came down to this earth, became a man, lived a perfect life, and for His trouble was crucified, nailed to the cross, in the ground 3 days, but after 3 days He arose, and He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. God came to earth, shed His precious blood for the sins of the world, that if we trust in Him, we can have eternal life. This is a precious thing. The shields that we're talking about, made of gold, symbolize the cross of Calvary. It symbolizes the resurrection. It symbolizes His perfect life. It symbolizes His miracles, and etc. Again, the Old Testament shows us pictures of the New Testament. And the things of God are very precious, or should be, to the Christian and to the church. But it says in verse 14, again in 1 Kings chapter 10, "Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold." 666 talents of gold, some measure. I don't know exactly how much a talent is. an ounce, a pound, I have no idea. But this was a lot of gold, this was a lot of money, and this was every year the tally was. Besides that, he had of the merchantmen, and of the traffic of the spice merchants, and the kings of Arabia, and of the governors of the country. He taxed the merchants, he had tributes perhaps from other countries. In other words, there was an income besides this gold that came in every year. In verse 16, and Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. What a target is, I'm not sure. But the next verse, verse 17, and he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. 300 shields of beaten gold. These are the shields that were stolen during Rehoboam's time when he was king. But it says beaten gold. And this is a symbol of how God takes us and he, through the Spirit and through circumstances, forms us, molds us. He brings circumstances to bear that are contrary to us. He does things in our life that we don't necessarily like. Perhaps we'll lose a job. Perhaps some misfortune will happen to us. Perhaps we're out trying to minister the Word of God and people reject what we have to say and reject us and make it personal. And we've talked about this extensively, that God uses the rough things in life to change us and to make us better Christians. So you can see that these shields of beaten gold were precious. And he put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon, it says. Solomon had made, I don't know the details, but Solomon had made a place for him to live. We know that gold is precious, and these shields were put into Solomon's house, and they were beaten. And again, this is a symbol, and it reinforces the idea that the things we have in the Word of God, the things we have in our churches, the theology that we have, what have you, the hymns that we sing, all of these things are precious or should be precious to us. And of course, the most precious thing is the fact that Christ hung on the cross for our sins. The next verse, it says, moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind. And there were stays on either side of the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the stays. And 12 lions stood there on one side and on the other side of the 6 steps. And there was not the like made in any kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold. And all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None of it were silver. And it was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. Verse 23, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom which God had put in his heart. Again, reinforcing the idea that the things of God are precious and costly and valuable. And this last verse I read, that the whole earth, all the kings, the dukes, what have you, all of the important people, the people with means, they came to Jerusalem to sit at Solomon's feet and hear wisdom. And this obviously is a symbol and a type of the preaching of the gospel. We have something that all the world needs. And we're to go into all the earth, every corner of the globe, to preach the gospel. The Bible gives references again and again and again, talking about missionary work. As I said, I've been to Haiti, Mexico, and Honduras, and also I made a side trip to the Bahamas, preaching the gospel. It used to be that we took missions work seriously in our churches. It used to be that entire denominations were formed solely on the basis of trying to win the lost in foreign countries. Missionary societies would have you were formed. And in many churches, many denominations, missions was paramount. But it says here in the next chapter, chapter 11 of 1 Kings, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites." Now the Word of God teaches that we should be celibate until marriage, and then when we're married, we need to be faithful to that one woman. We're not to commit adultery, in other words. Verse 3, "And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart." I'm going to say that again. "And his wives turned away his heart." All of the different women that he loved were from different countries. They had different gods. They worshipped idols, what have you. They had different customs. And in order to please his wives, his heart turned away from God. And there was a price paid for this. His son, Rehoboam. Under his watch, the kingdom was attacked. And as we just read in chapter 14, Shishak, the king of Egypt, came and stole many of the things from the house of God. Many of the treasures, the drinking vessels, what have you. And also raided Solomon's house and stole these shields of gold. It's one thing to lose something that's important. And that, again, like I said, is bad enough. But in order to keep up appearances, Rehoboam ordered imitation shields. Gold was expensive. Gold is precious. We know this. Copper, it really isn't worth a whole lot in comparison to gold. But Rehoboam ordered replacement, counterfeit, substitutes to be made in place of the stolen gold. And they used them in the ceremony when he went to the house of the Lord. The church used to believe that if you had a problem, you went to God. You prayed for yourself. "Oh God, help me." You went to the pastor. "Pastor, I have this trouble. Please pray with me." Or you'd stand, perhaps on a Wednesday, during prayer meeting and say, "I have this trouble. Please pray for me." Whatever the trouble happened to be, it used to be that Christians went to God. Nowadays, we refer the hard cases to the psychologist. We don't believe that God can heal the sick. We don't believe that God can heal the mind that has troubles. We don't believe that God can deliver from drugs. We don't believe God could even deliver from cigarettes. We trust in patches. We trust in other things. We trust in other methods. We used to believe that God could bring deliverance to the captives, but we've stopped believing it. We used to believe that prayer, seeking the face of God, begging God for revival, was enough to bring revival. We used to believe that believing God for souls was enough to grow the church. We don't believe that anymore. We've got the seeker-sensitive church growth methods. We've got the purpose-driven philosophy. We've got cell ministry. Instead of believing God the old-fashioned way for revival, instead of begging God for lost souls, we have humanistic methods of bringing people into the church. And it's a mistake. It's a mistake. You've heard me quote this verse at the beginning of every program. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. And I usually stop there where there's another phrase. And it says, but they said, we will not walk therein. The next verse. Also I have sent watchmen, or prophets, what have you, over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. The things that Israel had, the cloud by day, the fire by night, the presence of God, the visible presence of God in the sanctuary, all of the victories that God had given the Jews over the years, over the centuries, the parting of the Red Sea, the great deliverance from Egypt by the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. Very precious. But their heart, the Jews, began to go astray. And we know that they were carted off to Babylon for 70 years because of the rebellion that was in their heart and idolatry. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. We know that Jesus will return. It's a done deal. Christ will return. We say that His return is imminent. It's going to happen. We don't know when. We don't know the day or the hour. But we can look at the signs of the times, Jesus said. We can look at the nation of Israel. We can look at perhaps global politics. We can look at the hardness of the heart. We can look at the apostasy in many of our churches. And I could go on. But we know that the end is coming. We know that the great tribulation is fast approaching. Jesus told the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. The 5 foolish, they lost their way. Their light went out. And while they tried to go buy more oil and trim their wicks, Christ came. We need to come back to the cross. We need to place value on the things of God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, it says. We need to make sure that we value that treasure. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
As we look all around us, we see all of the fields are white. They're ripe and done to harvest, yet so quickly comes the night. Christians, we must give. check your fold, my Christian brother, and see if all of your children are in. Are there yet some straying?
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.